Our first reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 789 in your pew Bibles. And we read Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's on page 1250 in your pew Bibles. And we read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1032. And we read Matthew 2, beginning at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is our text. While we are so familiar with words such as "God so loved the world," in the early days of Christianity, the idea that God loved anybody but the Jews was somewhat unknown. According to the book of Acts, at least for the first 10 years or so, even after this church had been somewhat scattered out of Jerusalem through persecution, the people that worshiped God through Jesus Christ only went and spoke of him to other Jews. But as we know, he is not just a Jewish savior. He is the savior of the world. He's the savior of we Gentiles who aren't of Jewish descent, but know him as God and Lord and Savior just the same through the promises made to us through the gospel. At least we know that up here, but I'm not always sure that in practice we live out the belief that God really so loved the world and behave more like he's just our Savior. Kind of reminds me of something I witnessed many years ago with my daughter. I think she was around 2 years old at the time. And she was sitting on her grandma's lap along with her cousin Isaac, who was about 3 years old at the time. And she said, "This is my grandma." And Isaac looked at her and said, "No, that's my grandma." And they had a very nice argument sitting on grandma's lap as to whose grandma this really was. It was both their grandmas. But they just didn't want to recognize it. God is not just, through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But are we really willing to share him with others? With those who are, if you will, fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the same promise in Christ Jesus. A person down the street, maybe an older man or woman, who appears to be, if you will, all alone in the world. Do they know that they're related to you? That you share the same Father, or not just an earthly Father, but our Father who art in heaven? Do we keep that knowledge to ourselves, with our fellow workers, our fellow students, the neighbor down the street? You know, the idea that you're related to someone and you're not willing to share that may seem far-fetched in one sense, but we do it every day. And to not know that you're related to someone when you actually are, that's knowledge you just can't keep to yourself. But sometimes people do, for all kinds of reasons. You know, I'm acquainted with an individual who actually grew up not knowing that he was related to anybody except his parents. If you knew your grandma or your grandpa, raise your hand. I don't think I see any hands not up. If you knew your aunts and your uncles, raise your hand. If you knew your cousins, raise your hand. This gentleman grew up not knowing he had grandpas or grandmas, not knowing he had aunts or uncles or cousins. He also had brothers, at least half-brothers and half-sisters, to whom he was related, didn't even know they existed. His dad had had another family at one time, and he left his family for another woman. He moved to another town, changed his name, and then started another family. And this man grew up never knowing that he was related to anybody except mom and dad. His dad finally passed on, and if you will, he kept that mystery to himself all his life and carried it to his grave. He was well into his 60s, and his mother was near death. And she finally revealed to him the secret that had been kept hidden. He had grandmas and grandpas. He had aunts and uncles, at least 9 of them, on one side. He had brothers and sisters. In one sense, he was angry to find all this out that had been hidden from him from all of his life. But in another sense, he rejoiced in it. He contacted that family. And he became part of their lives, attending significant events, even though he lived a good distance off. If you will, he'd grown up ancestry-wise on a deserted island. And now he had family. Now, if you will, he belonged. And God, from our original creation, has put that, if you will, groaning to belong inside of all of us. When he first created man, he had lots of company, animals, big and small, fish and birds, but he was alone in the world, and God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." God created us to be family. Why do you think He has us address him not merely as God, but as our Father, who art in heaven. Why do the scriptures not speak of Jesus merely as our Lord, but as also as our brother, and even as our friend? God made us to belong to each other. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Jesus didn't die just for you or for me. He died for the whole world, that the whole world might be brought together under one head, into one family, through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We were meant to belong to each other. But that, my friends, was and still is a mystery to the world. And it is our task not to keep this secret that Paul knew to ourselves, but to share it with one another, with that person you know at work, who maybe lives in isolation, that person down the street who seems to have no one. To all people everywhere that we encounter, God wants us to share with them that we have the same Father. We have the same brother. It's a loving God who loved us so dearly that he would sacrifice that son of his that our sins might be forgiven, and that we might be restored to that family which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We gather here regularly because we recognize that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. But my dear friends, you have other brothers and sisters who don't know it. On this Epiphany, let us renew our commitment to telling the world how God is its Savior and that we share the same Father and brother and Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.